Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, did you plan all this for yourself? This crazy life that you're in? The suffering that you've had, as we've all had? How much of it did you know even before you were born? It's pretty daunting to think that we've asked for this, but maybe we did. So we're gonna find out all about that. And I think it's really helpful to know what our souls are up to versus our, let's say, call it our egos, our minds. So to do that, the author of some incredible books. One is called Your Soul's Plan. Another is called Your Soul's Gift. We love that. And so our guest on the show, the author of those two books, Robert Schwartz. Rob, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy to talk with you and daunted at the same time, because you've really worked on, as I can see in your books, on the great questions about life, about whys and wherefores of why we're here and how do we get here? Who are we really? And those are questions, you know, I want to ask you about, because, you know, for instance, who are we really? You know, here you're Rob Schwartz, but who are you really? And what do you know about who you are really? Mm-hmm. You know, and you started off, I think, by working with channelers who were able to, you know, channel into the other side and give you information, right? And then you took on a role yourself of becoming a hypnotherapist who brings people back in lifetime so they can directly have those experiences that the channelers were communicating. Is that true?
That's correct. The way I researched Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift is that, and let me start actually by saying my website is yoursoulsplan.com, and people can read large excerpts from both books for free on the website. The way I researched Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, as you mentioned, was by working with some talented mediums and channels who in one way or another could find out what somebody planned before they were born. They do it in different ways. They have their own unique gifts. But anyone in some way was able to find out what someone planned and why they made those plans. And in the books, I present all the information that came through. So the intentions of the work are to help people awaken, by which I mean come into some awareness that you are more than the body, more than the personality, that you are, in fact, an eternal soul. A second intention is to help people see the deeper spiritual meaning and purpose of their biggest challenges. The books are focused on the pre-birth planning of life challenges. And a third intention is to help people heal from those challenges. The understanding of the spiritual meaning and purpose is a large part of the healing. Now, after Your Soul's Plan came out, which was in early 2007, I started immediately getting emails from all over the world who said, I want you to tell me what my life plan is. And for several years, I answered every one of those emails the same way. I said, I'm not a medium or channel. I don't know what you planned before you were born. If you want to know that, work with one of the mediums or channels in the book. But then I took the training to offer what is called a life between lives or a between lives soul regression, which is a form of hypnosis in which the client can directly speak with the spirit and find out what they planned, why they made those plans, how they're doing in terms of fulfilling the plan, and how they can better fulfill the plan. Those are the main questions people ask in between lives regression. And this has turned out to be a wonderful way for me to fulfill my pre-birth mission of helping people understand their life plans, because again, they're not dependent upon a medium or channel to tell them anything and to be accurate. They retrieve the information directly from spirit while in a trance state.
Right, and that's so important. I did have a regression back in between my last life and this life, after having seen my previous life first and then dying and getting out to the other side. and had an opportunity actually to speak directly, or at least experience directly my higher self, and be with guides, and even see my two sons who were going to be born in this life. And I would love to actually at some point soon do more of that, and have that more direct experience, even though I'm very intuitive and I can do a lot of this for other people, as those mediums and channels were doing for people. I don't channel, but I am and not a medium, because a medium talks with the dead, but I'm an intuitive who can actually go back into other lifetimes and into the soul journeys of people. But I don't, I'm not able to do that for myself. And I think that's normal.
It is.
Yeah, we'd scare ourselves too much. I help ourselves too, but as you say in the book, you know, there's a reason why we're veiled at birth, because we would be second-guessing ourselves too much. We wouldn't be learning the lessons that we're here for if we already knew too much. So it's fascinating that we plan ahead. And I have so many people who, over years of working actually with thousands of people that have counseled, so many people have said, I would never have chosen this. You know, you hear that all the time, I'm sure. That would be stupid to choose such suffering and such pain and an idiotic world. And I wouldn't want to come here if I could help it. But it really doesn't work that way, does it?
It doesn't work that way. And I think the thing that's important to understand here is that your perspective when you're home on the other side is very different than your perspective once you're here in body. One of the main differences is that when you're home on the other side, you are very much aware that a lifetime is actually very brief. It's here and it's gone like a clap of thunder. When you're in body, you may or may not have that perspective. Also, from the non-physical vantage point, you are very much aware that nobody is permanently harmed by anything that happens here. Again, when you're in body, you might or might not have that perspective. And I think a third key difference is that when we're home in the non-physical, we're very much aware that all the growth and learning and healing that come out of an incarnation become part of the soul, literally, for all eternity. Again, you might or might not know that when you're in body. So from that perspective, the life is very brief. No one is permanently harmed by anything that happens here. And yet the wisdom becomes part of you for all eternity. From that perspective, it actually does make sense that souls would plan very big challenges.
Right. And I think one of the biggest problems is that when we get here, the awareness, the public awareness of the reality of life and death is skewed. We're taught to fear death. We're taught, you know, that this is it and we're in trouble. And if we can see it from the perspective that you're offering, of our soul planning to have a life. And I've always felt that way, that our higher self, we'll talk, maybe I can ask you questions about the identity of our self on the other side, is innocent. It's like naive. It's like, oh yeah, it's only a clap of thunder. You know, let's go for it. You know, let's start this new life. And when we get here, it's like, Dad, oh my God, time is, it's not the same as out there. And all of a sudden, we're drawn into a long, what appears to be a slow, often difficult life, but often joyful too. We come here, I think, and you talk about contrast in the book, is that there's also a lot of, it's incredible richness here that you don't have on the other side because of the density, because of how harsh it is and how much suffering there is. It draws out even more love. You know, it's a different kind.
Yeah. The desire to experience contrast, I found in my research for Your Soul's Planning, Your Soul's Gift, is one of the main, one of the five main reasons why we plan big challenges before we're born. It's discussed in a very eloquent way in one of the Conversation with God books. And God asked the author, Neil Donald Walsh, to explain it using the analogy of the white room, which goes like this. God says to Neil, imagine that you are a white being in a white room. So you're white, the ceiling is white, the floor is white, all the walls around you are white. Everything in this room is white, including you. If you are such a being in such a room, how do you know that you're white? Well, the answer is you don't. And in fact, you can't until you experience something that is other than white. That, I think, is what we as souls are doing here on the physical plane. We come from a realm of unconditional love. We ourselves are made, I believe, from the energy of unconditional love. And we can talk later, if you want to, about a spiritually transformative experience I had in which I was shown from unconditional love. But if we are made from unconditional love and we're in this realm of only unconditional love, we experience no contrast to ourselves. It's like the white being in the white room. And so I think we come here for what you could call the not love, which we would all agree there's a lot of, because that way, by the time you go home at the end of an incarnation, you have a much more profound self-knowing. You understand much more deeply what it means to be a being made from the energy of unconditional love.
Maybe the more advanced people are the more ignorant people here, because they create the most contrast.
Well, there, some of that happens. There are advanced souls who plan to take on some what we would call negative roles, and they do it in service to us. This is something that I talk about quite a bit in yes. my books. We get together with all the significant people in our life before we incarnate. And basically, we're like playwrights. We're writing a script that is going to be performed on the Earth stage. And people will ask others who they know well and have had many lifetimes with, and there's a lot of love with, to challenge them to play negative roles to stimulate their growth. It's a difficult concept to wrap one's mind around, but this is what I have seen again and again when I go into people's birth plans. In the channels and also in the between lives regressions.
And that, to me, brings up an interesting point, is who are we really? If, for instance, our enemies are our friends. I had a client who went through a terrible divorce with a man, and he was terrible to her. And then she did a between life regression and came back and said to me and said, I found out he's my soulmate. And, so who are we out there? How do we relate to each other? And also, this is, I think, an important question, is we've learned here to define our identities based on our personalities, our egos, our judgments. And then we get out there and we find out that, wait a minute, because I'm conscious. The consciousness is really the eternal part of myself. But do I have to give that up? And who do I give that up to? So you could say, well, I have an oversoul or I have a spirit. And who are they? And how do I know myself in them when I really only know myself as this personality who's been on Earth?
I think ultimately who each one of us is what you could call pure awareness. You're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're not the body that you're temporarily in, you're just pure awareness. And this is one of the great benefits of meditation, because you can have an experience of yourself as pure awareness in meditation. And then once you've had that, you're not so identified with the body, the thoughts, and the feelings anymore. But you're absolutely right. The average person is completely identified with their body, thoughts, and feelings, their personality. They believe that that's who they are, when in fact, it's just a role that has been scripted for this particular lifetime.
Okay, so it's only our pure awareness is really who we are, outside of the judgment of our personalities, of identifying our personalities. But it's still the coming from self. It's self-awareness without any judgment, without any perspective. It's just the pure awareness that we come and go with. But if I look at, for instance, at pure awareness and the oneness of all, and I look at you and I go, no, I'm not in your pure self-awareness. I'm only in my pure self-awareness. So then I get to the other side and I go, I look at my oversoul or my higher self and I go, oh, I'm looking at your self-awareness and I have my self-awareness. How do we get together?
You know, ultimately we are all one. There's actually, as I understand, right, only one being right in the whole universe.
Right. So we're still only seeing it through our own sense of self, no matter how we judge that sense of self. So does my sense of self merge with my oversoul or my higher self, and then I lose the identity of Peter Roth and my sense of awareness, or do I just encapsulate a larger, you know, all of my lifetimes and all of that together and see it all, feel it all, know it all as one in self-awareness?
You know, when we use the term self-awareness, I think we have to say, are we talking about self with a small s or self with a big s? Because you can have self-awareness of the small self, and you can also have self-awareness of the one larger self with a capital S. And you can go back and forth between those perspectives. Again, the average person is not doing that. They're very much identified with the personality. But you can go back and forth between those two kinds of self-awareness.
I understand what you're saying. But again, those are conditional versus unconditional. And I'm even speaking of a pure sense of, you know, not trying to be Peter Roth, but not wanting to lose whatever whatever I'm in the moment of pure awareness of. You know, and
yeah, I understand. I think I understand what you're saying. My books, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, really don't go into that kind of discussion too much. They're very much focused on the pre-birth planning of specific life challenges, very common things like alcoholism, drug addiction, financial challenges, abusive relationships, death of a loved one, accidents. Pretty much any kind of common challenge you can think of is in one of those two books. And the reason that's the focus, rather than, you know, self-awareness or pure awareness per se, is that I wanted the books to help as many people as possible. And I wanted them to have a very pragmatic focus. I wanted somebody who's going through a big challenge to be able to find their own story in one of those chapters, see the deeper meaning of their challenges, have some idea of why they plan them. And then, you know, they can go about learning the underlying lessons in a much more conscious and presumably much less painful manner. That's really what I'm trying to do in the two books.
Right. No, and I appreciate that. And I saw some of my stories in there too. And I was glad to see that. And it helped me a lot. And, you know, and then yet I'm a person who really wants to know, to understand our souls more, and understand, you know, who we are, and how we know ourselves. For instance, is it that out on the other side, my higher self knows your higher self, and that's how we know each other, rather than Peter Roth knows Rob Schwartz?
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of what happens here on the earth plane is ultimately coordinated by our higher selves, by our souls, and often in conjunction with the higher selves of the other significant people in our life. You know, your soul has a much broader perspective than you can possibly have while you're here in body. And I'm trying to broaden that perspective in my two books. But really, due to the limitations of the five senses and the sort of amnesia that we come into a lifetime with, it's really a very narrow perspective. And that is not a bad thing, because by narrowing the focus of our consciousness so that we're physically focused while we're here, that has the effect of making the experiences and the emotions they generate much more intense than they otherwise would be. And I think that a lot of the growth and learning on the earth plane comes through the experience of intense emotion, and in particular, learning how to relate skillfully to intense emotion.
Right, and you talk about, for instance, trying to beat life versus embracing life, and I think there's so many lessons in here on having perspective in relating to our different troubles, and so I really appreciated you know the whole idea that life is a competition that we have to win at, and rather than an opportunity to, you know, have gratitude and embrace the opportunities that come our way.
Yeah, and I would add, rather than have an orientation in which we're trying to beat life or compete with others, really a person's greatest power comes through surrendering to life. And that seems counterintuitive to people when they first hear that idea. But when you fully surrender to your soul, to spirit, to your pre-birth plan, that's when you really begin to channel some significant power through yourself. And that, I think, is how people ultimately end up fulfilling their pre-birth plan and creating the greatest peace, love, and joy in their lives and the lives of those they care about.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I've done shows having more to do with Eastern philosophy and Wu Wei. I don't know if you've heard the expression of, which is a Taoist expression of surrendering and trusting the process. And some often I say to myself, you know, be in Wu Wei, you know, reminding myself just, you know, to go into a blank state of just allowing life to take care of us. And so so what it is, you know, it's fascinating, and I'm glad that, you know, defining what we're accomplishing more. And maybe at some point in the future we can do more of a show about some of the experiences that souls have had here that you're helping them understand better.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, because I think there's so much. But I kind of wanted to get into the why and wherefore of having this journey in the first place with you. You know, I really think a lot of people want to understand that, yes, they have planned this. That whatever their plans are, there's a reason why their souls wanted to come here. I did a show recently with Linda Backman, who you might know, who does regressions and has people who regress back into lifetimes and other planets that are generally more advanced than here, easier to live on. And even in your book, there's a place where you just say, maybe it's time that we don't have such contrast. Maybe it doesn't have to be so harsh, and we don't have to go through as much suffering to have enough contrast to help our souls along. But people who come from other planets who've had it easy, you know, why do they choose here? And it's for these reasons of greater growth through facing seemingly impossible odds.
Yeah. Well, you know, to speak to your question about why souls choose Earth and the harsh conditions here, in my books, I talk about five main reasons I found why we plan life challenges before we're born. But when you distill the five reasons down, the bottom line underlying all five of them is that we're here to learn how to better give and receive love. And through the sometimes very harsh experiences that we have on Earth, people's hearts are broken open. And when that happens, they are better able to both give and receive love. Now, I know that that sounds harsh, but the fact of the matter is there are many souls who learn best by having their hearts broken open. And if you are a soul who learns best that way, Earth is a wonderful place to come to. Not easy, but it leads you to where you ultimately want to go.
Right, and I appreciate that. And it creates such compassion to be in the experience of suffering that we, our souls automatically reach out to others and receive and give love so much more powerfully. And so so let's come back to your website again so that people can know how to learn more.
Sure, it's yoursoulsplan.com. And if you click on the books pages, you can read parts of Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift for free. If you click on the tab that says schedule a session, there's a tremendous amount of information on that page about a between life soul regression. And on the lower half of that page, there are a number of client accounts of the experiences they had in their between life soul regressions. So for anyone who's thinking about doing that kind of session, it's a great resource there to see what other people have experienced when they crossed back over to the other side and spoke to the Council of Elders and found out what they planned before they were born.
Right. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know about all those things that, you know, we have a Council of Elders who are on our side and want to help our soul grow. This has been so wonderful talking with you, and I'm sure, you know, it's very gratifying for you to be on this path and be able to communicate all this to people, and the generosity of having a website that gives away so much information that, you know, you really want it to be available, because it will be a better world when we can understand this journey that we're on.
Well, it is certainly very gratifying work, and I want to thank you for the very important work you're doing by talking to different people who work in the spirituality field. You're bringing forward a lot of very important information, and it's a great service to the world.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of myself, actually, and I'm grateful for being somebody who loves to do this. So, Rob Schwartz, it's so good to know you and have you on Energy Stew and hear the great wisdom that you've accumulated and the work that you've done. So thanks so much, and hopefully we can talk again sometime in the future.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. And I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening.